Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Thank you so much. Ladies, a great song and great job. And each one of you, thank you for your enthusiasm about today and the chapel service. If it ever changes, then we'll all of us out there will be worried. But Lord has blessed you with a wonderful place where you can be excited, and it's the culture to be excited about Jesus Christ and about the message of the cross. And boy, that was a great song to get us right in the spirit here. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to use much of the chapter in order to introduce the thought, but we've got to get right to the scripture here just a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. And so stay with me. Don't turn me off. And listen as intently as you can. This message perhaps is going to be one that's very crucial for somebody who's about to do what they described earlier. Go and have interviews and go off into the ministry in your first full-time spot. And I remember that time for us and what a grip the Lord had on my heart about that, because it was suddenly becoming more and more real just day by day in those last couple semesters. For some of you, it's all new to you, and I'll be maybe just one more layer that's going to get you to where you need to go, and I hope that that's true. I'm thankful, so thankful to Pastor Wilkerson for the opportunity and all the leadership, and what a blessing to see Brother Douglas here and well, and it has been a matter of prayer for us. I want to say this, that so many of you staff members that I recognize, thank you so much for your help. And I got to thank Brother Pins personally again this morning, and just so many of you. I don't necessarily want to start with the names, because I'll leave so many of you out, but thank you very much. Thank you to my wife. Of course, my daughter got to introduce her just a moment ago. Of course, Julie was here in 1986 as a freshman. Then she went through Hiles Anderson College, graduated in January of 1991. She went on tour in 1989 for Hiles Anderson College, and that was a great opportunity for her. But I look back on it now and think, wow, that was good for the college, because I know my wife and how she's just solid gold. And she went with Dr. Pete Cowling and his wife, and they enjoy that. And she's one of their girls, so to speak, as they kind of call it that way. And they'll never change. And so I'm so thankful for that. I wanted to mention that. I'm so thankful that my daughter Carol Ann is here as a freshman, and so congratulations to all you freshmen. I'm so thankful for my daughter Carol Ann. I'm glad for Courtney High. I think she's probably teaching, student teaching here somewhere else, another location. But if you know Courtney High, and maybe you didn't realize she's from our church, we love to claim her, because she's an amazing trophy of grace. And each one of these that I'll mention, of course, I'm not going to be able to mention everyone, but I think of even some of our former teenagers from Albuquerque that are currently serving here at First Baptist and at Hiles Anderson. I remember how Justin Zarsky was when he was a teenager. How many of you know Brother Justin Zarsky? Yeah, you know, oh, wow, okay, he's very well known. He's probably well known because of his hard work and his excellent spirit. And I had the privilege of watching the Lord form that in his life through things that he had to go through, he and his family, Craig Weibel and others that we claim, but we barely claim. And anyway, no, I'm kidding about that. Boy, what a blessing to have Brian Newman here, and Anna Romery and Katie Newman, and I wanted to say God bless them, and we love them very much. They're some of ours, if you would, if the Lord allow us to claim them like that. Hebrews chapter 11, we've got to jump right into it. The truth is, I'm hoping that I can bring something to you today, that, of course, through the Word of God and show you from the Holy Spirit's leadership, but also just maybe take a slice of experience from out there where you're going, to help you to be ready for the things that you'll face as you are out there serving the Lord. I want to do two things. I want to encourage you, but also I think it's wise to help you to kind of have a warning about some things you'll face out there, and you'll understand it here in just a moment. But look at Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says in verse number 3, this is the only verse that we're going to see here in this chapter, so stay with me. And And notice these words. It says this: through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to read that one more time. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice those first four words. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject: faith that guides our understanding. Faith that guides, if you would, faith that directs our understanding. Heavenly Father, would you bless now, Lord? I need to be emptied of self, and I need to be filled with your Spirit. And so, please, Lord, fill that need right now in my life, Lord. Of course, I'm so thrilled to be here, but also humbled by just the nature of it, and Lord, recognizing what a huge place this is for me as I look back at the building blocks of my life, and Lord, how you put this place right where it ought to be in my life. And Lord, it's amazing. Lord, I hear them even just talking about the announcements, and Lord, just even the talk about the Super Bowl. Lord, I have wonderful memories of what at that time was just my girlfriend, or we were having dates, and she's wearing my high school Letterman jacket out to the Super Bowl. But now we've been married more than 25 years. And so, God, you were doing something very special, even with some of these things that are just an event in the day of a student here. Lord, would you use this chapel service as that event? We pray that you would. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, listen, Hebrews chapter 11 has an awful lot to say, but these four words that we focus on here: through faith, we understand. You know what I see, Brother Wilkerson? I see out there something that has been perhaps a repeat of days gone by, because I know that the devil's devices are very similar to what he's always used. But I see out there, even in fundamental independent Baptist circles, there is a wave of thought that has actually squelched faith. Faith like it used to be in fundamentalism is being squelched because some folks are turning to their own thinking, and they're turning to reason, and they're turning to some false worldly understanding of how things are supposed to be. And so, if you'll allow me again, first of all, to be an encouragement, but also to just bring a message of warning to you as you go out there and you try to serve Christ, you're going to face something that we all face. We're all faced with a decision about faith. You're going to have faith, actually, that goes beyond what is reasonable. Faith that allows us to understand what God has done, but we really can't understand it. Faith that goes beyond reason. It said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? Look at it. Look at verse number 3. Well, the worlds were framed by the what? The word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Folks, that doesn't make any sense when you just try to reason it out. And that's the problem with much of the world today. They are trying to have a God that they can understand. But they need the faith that actually allows them to have the understanding they need, and they don't recognize that. I'm telling you, we need faith that exceeds reason, but we don't need faith that throws away reason altogether. I think that probably there are cults and antichrist movement type church, quote unquote, churches that are filled with folks who used to be like you are. And they've turned from the faith. The Bible does actually say that's going to happen, and it is happening. They've turned from it in an effort, perhaps, in their own life to understand. We need faith that is directing our understanding about everything in life. We need Jesus Christ to be that preeminent one so much that when we get out there and we face, listen, there is a level of compromise that is so subtle. Right now I'm seeing, and I'm not much on social media, I'm just going to say, I'm not preaching against it necessarily right now, but I'll just tell you, I don't have time for a lot of the Twitter and the different things, and Someone said, you know, they're all going to combine one day, and they're going to, you know, combine Facebook and Twitter, and they're going to find, combine some of these, and they're going to call it You Twit Face. That's what they're going to write. We're going to You Twit Face, you know, and that's kind of how I feel about it. I think Mike Ray, that's probably a Mike Ray joke, and I just borrowed it. That's okay. He won't mind. But here's the facts. That out there in the waves upon waves of social media, even pastors are now trying to defend their level of compromise by saying, oh, well, listen, we've got to be careful because this young crowd, they are going to take the gospel into the future, and if we don't go with them, then, you know, we might be doing a disservice to the gospel. Let's find our gospel identity. Gospel identity? Our identity ought to be found in Jesus Christ. And our identity is not one that we get to manufacture or form on our own. Through faith, we understand. Some folks have turned away from those four words that I think are powerful in the faith. Sometimes we have that propensity because we're just simply human. And so, listen, I'll let people be human. I understand that people get tempted. And it is very tempting when you feel the pressures of people actually that you're out there and you're trying to help and bring along maybe from point A to point B, and they just, maybe they're struggling because they see such a watered down version of Christianity that this other really leather-lunged, you know, hard-nosed, fundamental independent Baptist, wow, they're staunch and they're strict, and they look at that and it just doesn't seem to make sense if they could get a light version. You with me? Well, that is going on. Unfortunately, the devil, he's behind some of that compromise because he knows that it ends up a far, far distance from where Christ actually is. And it could turn in actually to the spirit of Antichrist. We won't have time to necessarily get into that, but I want you to note this thought. This is a main thought here. It's actually just from something I read from G. Campbell Morgan, but I thought it made sort of put it into a nutshell. Listen to this truth. Faith apprehends an area larger than reason can discover. I'm going to say it again multiple times. I want you to write it down if you do that kind of thing, but I don't want you to get distracted and then start doodling or something. I want you to hear me, and I want this to go into your heart. Faith apprehends an area larger than reason can discover. Listen, where your discovery of your own understanding and your own mental ability to reason will actually fall very, very short, our God is so big that He can bring you to lands that are not yet discovered, and those lands are discovered by faith. Those places where God wants you to be in order to serve Him, and those places that are not yet known to you, you will find those places when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you allow me to say, a total surrender, and I'm not sure that any of us are ever really there. But if it's a goal, I hope it is, and you're here and you're on that path. And so this level of a high dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, congratulations, you're on that path. There's a long way to go. But listen, folks, that faith is going to apprehend more area than reason could ever discover. You're going to get somewhere actually by following Jesus that you could have never thought up on your own. I'm talking about in every area of your life. I think that we are definitely missing it unless we are talking about your personal morality. We're missing it unless we're trying to guide you in, of course, your personal walk with Christ. We're missing it if we're not trying to get you to get honed and get stronger and knock off the rough edges about even your personal work and the personability, the way you work with people, the way that you love them. I know your pastor, and I know what he's trying to get you to do. But listen to me. Let me exhort you to this. Let reason be corrected by Christ Himself. Amen. Don't just try to go into this thing trying to figure it out all on your own. Let reason be corrected by Christ. Let reason be corrected through the Word of God. The Word of God. Listen, it said there in that verse that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Doesn't seem to make sense to the world, but we know the Word. The Word tells us that He spoke it into existence, and we believe Him, and now we see something that we could have never seen without that faith. Let reason be corrected by biblical understanding. Let reason be corrected through the Word. Let reason be corrected by Christ Himself. Let reason be governed by God's statutes, and let reason be guided by God's Spirit. I'm here at a college, and I have seen some of our best that grew up in our youth departments and went off to this college, and then they get out there in the ministry, and of course they find out, hey, listen, I've still got learning to do, and I've got people that I want to help, and boy, I need maybe some extra help in this counseling area. Look, can I give you a real specific piece of advice? Listen, don't leave this place, and after a few years of service, go in and finally get another degree from Liberty University. And forgive me if you don't call names around here, and he'll just not have me come back if I say something he doesn't want me to say. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a level of liberality that you're going to be introduced to that makes sense. It will appeal to your understanding. It will appeal to what right now in your mind may not even occur, but later on it will, because the devil's going to face you with needs. I'm probably speaking for some folks that are out there right now in the ministry, and boy, at Hiles Anderson College, they got this degree, or maybe even two. My brother Joe, he graduated here in 1992 and in 1993. He took 5 years to do both his undergraduate and a master's degree, and boy, he's an impressive man. He's now in heaven with the Lord, of course. Some of you know about that, and we appreciate your prayers for our family. And it's been almost a year now that my brother's been in heaven. Boy, what a thought. But I'm going to tell you something. You might get multiple degrees from a place, and then you get out there in the ministry, and now suddenly you're going to have desires for more so that you can help more. Be careful. Because faith will obtain and will apprehend an area larger than reason can discover. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to help you in your counseling. Oh, but Pastor, I need the credentials. Why is it that we desire so much just the credentials of the world as opposed to the Christ? How come we have to have the world's approval, and yet we have the very Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and you can get help? Guess what He wants you to do? He wants you to be out there with the people and actually show them the way. I am not at all diminishing a degree or a diploma. I think you should finish what you start here, and I'm so glad. I mean, every time I look at the diploma that I earned here at Hiles Anderson College, I guess you'd have to know the financial struggles, and you'd have to know the weariness, and you'd have to know the other things a person goes, you know. Some of you are this close, and you're about to finish, and boy, I would just encourage you, listen, don't quit now. Don't quit now. It'll be worth it. And God's going to help you. But listen, beware the desire for prestige. Beware the desire. In the next hour, I'm going to teach in church ed, and I'm going to give you men some specific help and just some great things from other men of God that we've compiled, and I know it's going to be a blessing. But listen to me, ladies, while we have everyone here, God's going to team you up with a good man, I hope, and a godly man, and you're going to go off into the ministry, and listen, you're going to remain teachable, and you're going to go out there, hopefully, and follow a pastor that's got great experience and wisdom and tact and love, and he's going to care for you, and he's going to pastor you, but he's also going to be your boss. And what's going to happen someday is you're going to feel like you've outgrown him. Folks have felt like over the years, oh, well, I think maybe I've outgrown old Hiles Anderson College. I hope I never outgrow this wonderful place. There's no amount of prestige that's going to fix it. There's no amount of the world's approval that's going to make the difference. And as I come back here, I recognize what God was doing, and it's so much more profound each time. As I think about what went on in my life during the time I was here, what a blessing. Beware the desire for prestige. I want to give you four things that you can take home as far as from Scripture that will be the backing, if you would, of this thought. Listen, I'm not going to have time to go to Acts chapter 15, but let me tell you a story. In Acts chapter 15, two of the greatest Christians that ever lived were having an issue because some had found out, oh, the Gentiles are being saved. Well, listen, those Gentiles, they better knuckle under. They better become like us Jews. And you understand that had to do with some very personal things, you know, circumcision, not something that you necessarily want to start going up here and talking about, you know, at Hiles Anderson College and Chapel. But it's all there in Acts chapter 15. You'll have to read about it. But Barnabas and Paul, they were there. They're going to help lead and guide. And God was, he wanted them to do that. And see, listen, out there where the Gentiles are getting saved, it was wonderful for the people being saved. But some thinking started boiling in these folks that were Jewish and had been saved, and they're saying, well, that's not fair. Wait a minute, we don't like that. They can't be quite like us. They can't have everything we've got. Yeah, we know that Jesus Christ gave it to us by grace and all that stuff, but we're not going to let this go by without us forcing them into our little box. And they tried that. Well, it was interesting. On their way back to Jerusalem to talk about, well, let's see, let's get some things written down. Let's write an epistle and let's put it out there so that everybody knows. And wait a minute, they're working out doctrine. Aren't you glad we don't have to work out doctrine? It's all right here for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have enough struggles as it is. Good night. What if we had to actually formulate it while we're at it? No. They were there and they were trying to make sure and get sense of this thing. And on their way back to Jerusalem, they came through Samaria. And those folks that had found out that, wow, you mean the Gentiles are being saved? Those folks in Samaria, they found out that, wow, those Gentiles, and they were excited. They're on their way back, but then they got to the Jerusalem part where all the Jews are. And it's interesting. We make decisions according to our own way of thinking. The Bible says it, and you know it. You memorize it as a young person. Trust in the Lord with all thine and lean not to thine own. In all thy ways acknowledge, and he shall direct thy paths. Faith that is directed, or that is directing, that is, our understanding. Not the other way around. When they got back to Jerusalem, here's what they found. A bunch of folks said, what? No way, that's not fair. We're not going to let those Gentiles be saved without trying to make them into... Why was it so different with the Samaritans? Well, both were acting a little bit on their own understanding, their own reason. Their own reason was in the way. They weren't just thinking of this thing, well, wow, this is wonderful. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and he saves us. Both were acting. One was excited about the truth that the Gentiles could be saved. And the other one, nope, not at all. Why? Because their own thinking was meddling with their faith. Go with me, please. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Would you please? 1 John chapter 5. Many of you know some of the verses we're about to see, but I want you to see them. Some of them I'll just quote for you. But Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 said this, now faith cometh by, and hearing by the. So our first point this morning out of four, here's the take home. Number one, the word produces faith. The word builds faith. The word creates faith. If you would, listen, how'd you get somebody saved without telling them the word? Oh yeah, they're not believing in what you say. They're believing in what Jesus Christ has said and done. Oh, listen, he is the word. Praise the Lord. Oh, listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a wonderful thing. Now look at this. Look at this that it says about faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Yeah, amen. Who said amen back there? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Amen. Pray. Let's all say it. Hey, this is the faith. This is the thing that overcomes the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You want to be an overcomer, don't you? You want to get out there and not let the devil get you down and not let the devil ruin you and not let the devil discourage you and make you quit. this is what happens, but it's here. Look at the rest of the verse. And this is the victory. Oh, I love that word. Oh, man, I love that word. That's my favorite word. We almost named our daughter Carol Ann. We almost named her Victoria because I love victory. Is anybody named Victoria in here? I love your name. It's a wonderful name. Your parents did the right thing. It's okay. We love your name too, Carol Ann. Got to be careful. Oh, that was a good recovery. Good save. Good save, Dad. You know, and for a quarter, Mrs. Tarr, I'll tell you why we named her Carol Ann instead. But I'm telling you this. I love that word victory. You know what? We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He used to play this song when we were getting ready for basketball games when I was a teenager. V is for victory. Sing it out. 'Tis a glorious word. Nobody knows this song, huh? No, Katie might. Take it away, Katie. All right, here we go. Why? It is ours through Christ our Lord. Yeah, we can overcome the world. We can have victory. And then look at the rest of the verse. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Folks, look up here. I know this isn't deep, but guess what, college student? Guess what, staff member? Guess what, visitor? Guess what, pastor? Reason does not overcome the world. I'm so glad that we have people who are brilliant, who teach us things, and we've got to know. And listen, I'm not downing knowledge. But first of all, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I hope that you get lots of knowledge and then apply it and be wise and help people. But reason and knowledge are not that thing that overcomes the world or that gives us victory. It's faith. It's believing. Listen, the word creates, builds, produces faith. Number two, obedience exercises faith. Do you have time? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Asking you if you have time. I'm just saying, hey, turn with me, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 4. As soon as I get there, I'll begin to read. Look at verse 7. You're familiar with it, but look at it. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and what's that next word? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Listen, obedience exercises faith. Our pastor, Pastor Bachman, James Bachman, was our pastor in Roanoke for 32 and a half years, and I took over after he retired, and boy, what a privilege. What an amazing blessing to have someone who's given his entire life to some people and some church, and then he says, you're the one I think God trusts in order to take over. Boy, that's a little bit of pressure, but also a blessing. Listen, here's what he taught us about righteousness. He said, a practical definition of righteousness, you listen, you need to go out there and model righteousness to the people that you're leading. Righteousness is obedience through faith by love. Obedience to Jesus Christ through faith by love. In other words, listen, you have to love Jesus Christ enough to trust him and obey him. You have to love your people enough to show them that, listen, this is how life goes. This is how the Christian life is walked. We walk it by faith, and that means we're obeying Christ. Righteousness in the life of a Christian is obedience through faith by love. And it's just helped me over the years. But because, listen, sometimes people obey, but they obey so that they'll look better than someone else. Sometimes they get a standard and they set up an outside shell, but they don't have it inside. You know what I'm talking about? Some folks have desired the prestige that is somewhat out there to grasp, and they've changed all their standards. And they say, oh, we're changing because we want to protect this, if you'll kind of picture it as an egg. How many of you like to eat hard-boiled eggs? I'd rather have a hard-boiled egg than a raw one, that's for sure. But either way, what's in there, that's going to be good for you. There's some protein and all that stuff. Well, what's outside that egg? Just shout it at me. What's outside the egg? There's a shell. Someone said air. Yeah, smart Alec. Okay. Air is outside. Yeah, you're true. No. There's a shell outside that egg. Well, it's there to protect the precious things that are inside. Folks, listen. Don't get out there and ruin the shell because you feel like, oh, that's so harsh. We're just having such a hard... No, fundamentalism's so harsh. We want people to know the good things that are inside the egg, and so let's just remove the shell. You have no protection for your church. A lot of folks out there, they're saying, oh, drop the standard, and boy, we don't even have to worry about membership and all that stuff. What's going to happen? You're going to end up with a bunch of people who'd rather have the NIV, and now you've got a bigger battle on your hands. You're going to end up with a bunch of people who don't understand the godly music as opposed to spiritual music as opposed to fleshly music. Now you got a huge problem on your hands. Why? Because you removed the shell, the protective. Listen, an orange has what on the outside? Don't say air. I'll just come down there, okay? Appeal. Has that protection on the outside. A banana has one too. And they're hard to protect. They get all bruised up. Some of you are banana Christians. You know what I'm saying? Delicate, yeah, snowflake, cupcake, okay, whatever. Oh, I'll save that for church ed. Okay, save it, brother, save it. Save it. Could I help you know something? Folks, listen. The devil's against the protective standards. Well, that's a whole other sermon. Obedience exercises faith. The word builds faith. Number three, tribulation tries faith. You're in 1 Timothy. Look at chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm almost done here. Look at verse 19. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Holding what? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning what? Concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Holding faith. Tribulation tries faith. You know why God wants you to have a strong faith? You know why He wants you to go through something in order for you to build faith? Because now it's valuable to you. You aren't just going to give it up in the first problem. Some of these, I look around the crowd and I recognize some of you are international students. You come to us from mission fields. Oh, so there. Listen, before it's lost on you, young people who live close, some of these kids or young people, sorry, I don't mean to call you kids, but some of you young adults, you're so far away from home that every day of life here at Hiles Anderson College is precious. You've given up something. We all better have that attitude. I've seen folks, just everything's sort of handed to them, and nothing means anything to them. Is your faith valuable? Well, of course it is. Jesus Christ gave it all. But evidently, some of us don't feel like it's valuable. They're giving up the faith, left and right. And what's that cause in their life? Shipwreck. Tribulation tries faith. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And it goes on. He's going to try your faith. It's partly what you're doing here. And then last, Jesus finishes faith. You know it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our reason. No, wait. The author and finisher of our wonderful knowledge-filled understanding, our brainiac Christianity. Just a deep down gut level of belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's going to overcome? Even the worldliest onslaught of the devil against you, the most heinous, demonic, you're going to face an awful lot. If you're a missionary, you're going to see things we don't see in America much. But guess what? You've got your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Faith apprehends an area larger than reason can ever discover. Let reason be corrected by Christ. Let reason be corrected through the Word. Let reason, your understanding, your own thinking, your mindset, your mentality, let it be corrected by biblical understanding. Let it be governed by God's statutes and guided by God's Spirit. If you don't, you're heading for shipwreck. You're going to desire the prestige of the world. The devil's going to lead you around like crazy. Heavenly Father, would you bless every young person? Lord, I know that I've tried to do my best to deliver the message I know you put on my heart for today. And you know, Lord, why you did it. Now do a great work in hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name.